Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to talk about the journey of Paul. We talked about, if you have not yet heard, organizers of the night versus organizer of the day, you need to hear that series. One part in that series is about Saul, why are you organizing me? And it's a powerful reality, is when you finally let go and you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're no longer organizing. God's organizing. This will free you up, by the way, because a lot of people's problems come from is they say that they want Jesus to be the Lord of their life, but they stay the Lord of their life. Mm-hmm. They organize their life and they just say, hey, Jesus is the Lord of my life. It's called lip service, versus like, if he is the Lord of my life, then he's the organizer of my life. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that's directing my, the reason why I spend time with him every day and throughout the day is because he's given me peace about the direction I'm going, or convicting me about the direction I'm going. I need to change what I'm, he's leading me. Mm-hmm. And for his name's sake, not our name's sake. Mm. But, you know, you think about today, you're looking at all the things taking place in Turkey, which is where the Ottoman Empire was. And they're talking about the rise of the Ottoman Empire trying to happen again. But we sent Iron Curtain missile protection there to the former Ottoman Empire. Reportedly, the generals of the military there have been, the ones who were for the constitution of Turkey, have been arrested. You know, reports are they've been arrested, and new generals have been put in place, because in the past, every time there would be this rise of radical Islam and caliphate mindsets would rise up, then the generals would come and defend the constitution. Wouldn't that be cool if we had people in America that defended the nation from enemies, foreign and domestic, against the constitution?
That would be nice.
This is how they remedied that. This is how they remedied that. They actually took the leaders of the ones who are called to defend the constitution of Turkey, reportedly, and locked them into confinement, and they put new leaders in these places. And so now we're looking at, okay, we sent missile protection to them, and Iron Curtain means that you can't bomb them, but they can bomb you. That's what Israel has, is the Iron Curtain, which is a missile defense system. They've changed out the leaders that normally comes against them when they try to undo the constitution to go to a caliphate, which is Islam. The Quran is the law in the context of that. That's what caliphate means. You can listen to Muslim Brotherhood 101 and different things of that nature. And
Quran
also
the Bible.
The Quran versus the Bible to understand that. But this is like radical Islam, you know, the Brotherhood. And we've empowered them in the context of that. But you think about Turkey, and you think, why the Ottoman Empire and all these things that have happened? If you look what was going on at the time the church was birthed, and the time that that you read about of the disciples, and you read about Paul's journey, is one thing you got to, will help you out, is to look what was going on in the world at the very same time. It was real bad. It was real bad what was going on. Mm-hmm. But they were uninvolved with that. They were just, it was irrelevant. They were not caught up in that. And America today, and I don't know if we talked, did we talk about the shoestring? We talked about the shoestring analogy where they're
the knots.
Yeah, the knots.
Yeah.
You know, the flag is so wrapped around the cross in America, you can't tell the two apart. Mm. And that's not a realistic picture of the kingdom of God. God's not tied himself to America. Right. America's dependent on God. Mm-hmm. It's not the other way around. And so when you look at Turkey, and you look at the when you read the Revelation of Christ, the book of Revelation, there's seven churches that are spoken of in the book of Revelation, that a prophetic letter, a now letter, and a future letter was written, talking about the church of that day, and also how the church will be in the future. And it's giving different attributes of us that we may need to deal with parts in our life. And by the way, the letters are written to the church, not to the world, which changes a lot of doctrine, the context of that. But those churches are, if you remember them, the church of Ephesus and Laodicea and Philadelphia and Sardis and Thyatira and Pergamon. Guess where those churches are located at? All those churches are located in Turkey.
Hmm. Wow.
They're located in Turkey. I mean, think about Paul's journey. Paul was called to the Gentiles. He wasn't called to the Jews, even though he tried, you know, to go to the Jews. And the Lord says, I'm going to send you to the Jews, to your people and to the Gentiles, and I'll rescue you from them both. It's like, you're going to send me to help folks that are going to try to kill me, and you're going to have to rescue me? Wow. Welcome to ministry. And so when you look at Turkey is on the northern border of Syria. Syria is on the northern border of Israel. And so you look at Damascus. Remember, Paul was going to go to Damascus to persecute the Saul was going to go persecute the Christians in Damascus, and that's where he met Jesus. He met the light, and he allowed the Lord to begin to organize him because he was trying to organize things at that time. But then once he was called, even though he went for a moment back into Jerusalem, even though he was in Damascus till he got his sight back and he was raised up in the Lord, he went to the Gentiles. And that's Turkey. You're looking at Turkey today. And even part of Antioch, when Christians were first called Christians, right, in Antioch, that today's Turkish borders swept down inside of Syria and brought that into their territory. Wow. It's just like, isn't that amazing that everything Lucifer does, he wants to try to snuff out any memory of what God has done. And so he'll come in there and take over holy sites. He'll come in there and take over the first place Christians were going to have the Ottoman Empire right on top of the seven churches, you know, and right on top of Antioch. And I was like, my goodness, right on top of the Temple Mount.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know. Here's a real good sign that you're walking with the Lord when the enemy wants to be where you are, when they want what you got.
That's right.
Because if the enemy's got you, they don't want what you got. But if they want what you got, then what's in them, the darkness is in them, is wanting to put a cap on that. Mm. You know, the Temple Mount, that's a cap. You know, can we cover that up? We'll just swing down the Ottoman Empire, which was, you know, Islamic culture. And which is really dominant, but you understand that Islam was birthed. You know, Muhammad came a little bit later on. They're saying, by the way, the big battle of the Dome of the Rock was that Muhammad was riding a horse, and the horse touched down a little bit right there in the Temple Mount when he was riding a horse.
Really?
Something in nature. So they wanted to be able to create a doctrine for that.
Well, they try to block up the Eastern Gate as if those bricks are going to stop.
Yeah.
The Lord from them.
Well, and then, you know, his wife at the time, one of his wives at the time said that, I don't know what he's talking about going somewhere because he was here all night. You know what I'm saying? And so I can't think of her name right now, but one of his wife's name was Khadijah. And
really?
No, one of the prophet's name was Khadijah. And, but that's a different particular name. But these days, understand that when you're thinking about Turkey, begin to pray for the Christians in Turkey. Those are some of the oldest Christians in the world. They're the lineage of it. We need to pray protection over them. They're good people there in Turkey. We need to pray that God would protect them. Talking about the journey of Paul in an earlier program, and I encourage you to begin to study about Paul's walk, because what could better represent our walk than a man called to the Gentiles, that would be us, to enter into the family of God. God loved us enough to be able to call us in. And we can understand that he was uninvolved with the politics of the day. He was uninvolved. And when things were talked about, they weren't talked about in the context how to have some political advantage. It was to understand the spiritual context of what was going on. When Herodias was dancing and all these different things going on, and John the Baptist was trying to explain the spiritual attributes of what was happening, that I don't think Herod didn't, whatever, right? It wasn't too good.
No, his head didn't make it.
But he wasn't trying to be political about it. He was just trying to explain the spiritual aspect of it. And when he did, you know, his wife got really upset and said, deliver me his head on a platter. And when you think about that, we're talking about, you know, Paul's journey. You need to be able to help people understand. And you can do this by abiding with God in the Word and in his presence, about looking at the realities of life. And right now, when we see what's happening in the context of of the world and what's happening to the church and what's happening to Israel, and we're just, things are moving progressively in a direction. Interesting word. That everything's wanting to kind of get into one system. You know, we heard about, you know, seeking God's perspective of common core, and kind of talked about that a little bit. And he said, you know, what good is it to know everybody, what everybody's doing at every time, every moment? Why don't you just train up robots instead of students?
Right.
When they do it better, they last longer, they don't give you a hard time. And that's where we're going. We're going to this tracking system, because if you can track men, and we talked about this early on, that there was a time when people hated to be tracked. They called it house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
They would track you and put a bracelet on you, and it like would just lock your cell phone to your ankle. Oh no, it would just lock a GPS to your ankle. And if you left outside of your property, it would set off a signal, and then the probation officers would go out. And this is the way it happens. Anyway,
that's what I heard. I'll check with Chris.
We're not going to bring Second Street up. You said, see Steve, we got you looked over.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that. Oh, my goodness. And you
didn't tell me that.
And so the, but today people voluntarily not even have, you're not even having it chained to you or forced on an anklet. People carry it with them. We carry our tracking devices today with us. I mean, this is what court systems use to track thieves and robbers and criminals and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, and it worked well, because they knew the second they went out a certain area, then it set off an alarm. They didn't check in. Now imagine you're carrying the tracking device with you.
Mm.
And I remember when I was a school resource officer, when I worked for a sheriff's department, a teacher was getting onto one of the students, called me into her room, and he had some marijuana on him or something like that, some sort of drug. And so I was having to place him under arrest. When I would place him under arrest, I was patting him down for weapons. When I got to his ankle, I saw a cell phone on his ankle. No, I saw a the tracking device, because he was...
ankle bracelet?
Yeah, what's that?
Ankle bracelet?
Yeah, ankle bracelet. He had an ankle bracelet on. The teacher didn't even know it.
Wow.
Didn't even know it, and didn't realize that he was wanted for armed burglary out of Texas.
Oh, wow.
And he might have, you know, done some terrible things, but when I got to his ankle, I'm thinking this is a weapon or something. This is a while back. So, now people just carry it in their pockets, called a cell phone.
Hmm.
But they were tracking him because of his criminal activity. They want to know whether he was at school or not and that type of thing. Well, today, they're tracking you. Everything you do, everything you buy, everything you sell, everything you watch. You know, smart media devices means they're watching you, tracking you, and looking at all your habits.
Yeah, it's the Facebook and that, you know, pictures and everything else. Not only are they tracking you, but now you're giving them information with your pictures. I saw a program recently where the guy did a social experiment, and he visited five people that he had friended on Facebook that he did not have any personal, you know, friends relationship with. So he shows up, and he's in his documentary, and he says, "Hey, you know, John Doe, whoever the person is," he says, "that was so awesome about your mom and what happened there in your family." And he just started this whole, the guy's like, "How do you know this?" Like, "I'm sorry, do I know you?" And he's just giving all these details.
Right.
And that promotion. And then when you guys went out to dinner. And they're just amazed. Like, this is weird.
Like, he's magical.
Yeah, this is weird, dude. And then finally he's like, "Well, how do you know?" Well, I just looked at your Facebook page and I was shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, my goodness.
People don't realize how much information you're actually sharing.
It's tons.
And at what point do they actually let you know what they know? Normally it's when they want to take over.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of this, looking at Paul's journey, as we're talking about, that they wanted to track him. They would have tracked him, realized they were plotting against his life. They didn't want him... they thought he was delivering a religious message that was contradicted to their religious message, and they wanted to do away with him. And even the religious folks religious folks use government to be able to fulfill their... Anytime religion and government get intertwined, that's when you see Jesus about to be nailed to the cross. When you see those two things come together like that. Mm. And so crazy about religion is you really believe because your hand's not holding the hammer, even though you're the one that led the government to put the hammer to draw the nail, you would believe that God doesn't see you as that. Mm-hmm. And you even take the 30 pieces of silver you used to sell you... to sell out this man or woman, and you're so religious, you think, okay, well, I can't use that here. Does it really matter? Mm. Go buy you something with it. I mean, you're going to go. If you don't repent, it's not going to be good. So they would have tracked Paul. I mean, they took a pledge. And they said, listen, we're going to not eat or anything until we kill this man. And these are members of the church. These are members of the temple. And they went and told the leaders of the temple, of the church, hey, we just want to let you know we're fasting and we're not gonna eat again until we kill him. Mm. Mm. And so they actually sent a lying message up to Festus or whatever and says, hey, we want to be able to try him back in our venue. Can you have him come back here? And he didn't care. He was very political. He was like, yeah, whatever. But then a nephew of Paul's came in and said, hey, I just heard this pledge and all. And so they found that out, that they were going to, on his way back to the venue, these guys were going to kill him. Mm-hmm. They were going to kill Paul. The people who said they were in serving God, and they were worried that what Paul was doing was taken away from God, that they were going to kill him, ambush him on the way. He wasn't going to go to the venue. Listen, it's all a trap. Don't sit down, Naboth. Mm-hmm. It's a trap. And so they divert him, put a big guards around him, and take him on to Caesar and all. But it ended this way. At the very end of Paul's journey, who did what he did for God and gave his life, he gave everything. I mean, God wrote through him 50% of the New Testament, pretty much of what we read today, and the letters he wrote from jail, and the things that he's dealing with, the church that was not there, and all of a sudden it's there, so he's starting to say, you've got to manage this, you can't sleep with your mama anymore, okay? Right. I mean, I already judged that person. This is what he had to do. Yeah. What's going on in the church is worse than what's going on in the world. That's what he said. And so here is this man who gave all of his life, poured himself out. Jesus called him face-to-face in the ministry. I'm going to show you some things you must suffer. I want you to go deliver. I'm going to send you back to your people and to the Gentiles to be able to bring them in. He, the words of Jesus held him fast and brought boats through storms and delivered him from the bites of snakes and all the plots of the religious folks and all that. But it came point in time at the very end of his ministry, and it ended because of this, that they brought him out of a jail cell, had him kneeled down like Queen Elizabeth did to King James's mother, and he knelt down. They chained his wrists out like this to the ground, tied them, and he leaned over this cutout area in the ground, and it has a trough in front of it. And the reason why it has a trough is because they're about to cut his head off. Mm-hmm. That's how his life ended. He did everything right to the best of his ability. I mean, he's been poured out like a drink offering, and I believe that is why he said that, because that's what happens when you lose your head like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's a trough. That's like you get poured out, but Jesus got poured out. Jesus did everything perfectly right, and he ended up on a cross. James led the church in Jerusalem, and he was hung. And the gospel, what we turned the word to in America is something so different than this reality. Now we can't get folks to even begin to even think about this journey was an example of how we're to walk out in our journeys. Mm-hmm. It's something, you look at Paul's life and you're just like, dear God, I'm so embarrassed that I haven't laid anything down for you, that I've been, dear God, give me more time to do more for you. Because at this point, everything that I've done has been in self-preservation and how my life is going to be better and all this. Dear God, I want to be like Paul and pour it out like a drink offering. Imagine if there's like two Pauls or three Pauls or or four Pauls, or maybe 100, or an army of Pauls that are willing to say, you know what, here I am, God, send me. Mm. I'll go. Even if it means shipwreck, even if it means religious folks try to kill me. Mm-hmm. And we got to understand that that's the stuff that happens. And, you know, you got to join us at the VFN Dream Center in the beginning of the year, because we're going to talk about, you know, God has sent you out. You can go to VFNDreamCenter.org to be able to find out more. But you can join us also on VFN Radio at 10 a.m. on 10 a.m. Central, 10:30 a.m. Central Time on Sundays, and I think again at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. But understand, you're going to be held accountable for your life. God's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you, what I've entrusted to you? What'd you do with it? I know that the American gospel doesn't say that, but you have to understand, if you read the Bible, if you read what he says, this is how the king, this is what it's like. He's going to give you something, and he's going to expect you to do something with that. He's going to expect you to increase, to gain interest mm-hmm. in the context of that, to utilize what he gave you for him, to give back to him. People say, yeah, I've really worked really hard. Yeah, for yourself and for your stuff and your things, and it's been all about you. But this is what he says to the first couple guys who did do what he said, and whatever they had, to that they invested. The one who had the one said that I was so scared, I was so fearful, and comes with this big old explanation why they didn't do it. Then he says, he takes away that very thing that he has, and he says, you wicked and you lazy servant. Think about that. You wicked and lazy. I mean, where does that fit in with the gospel that we've been hearing? I mean, whose words are these?
That's right.
These are Jesus' words. Mm-hmm. You wicked and lazy servant, away from me. And he says, you know, go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not another address in heaven. I mean, just think about it. And the enemy's convinced you can live your life for yourself, which is idolatry, not for anybody else, not give Jesus a drink of water, not give him a crumb of bread, not rob him your entire life, not giving him his tithes and offerings, not using one of the talents he's given you for his kingdom, for any increase at all in his kingdom, only for your own personal increase, and that you could stand there before his throne. He's going to say, hey, you know, what an American. You are such an American. Enter in. That's the American section over there. Mm. Right? That's not going to happen.
No.
It's not going to happen like that. And I just want to encourage you that Jesus has sent you out. We're going to be talking more about that coming of the beginning of the year. And maybe you can join us at the VFN Dream Center. Go to VFNDreamCenter.org to find out the details. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. And yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit
our sponsor and underwriters, and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.